piece of basic humanity is offended not only by this cowardly crime, but also by the cynical attempt to cover it up. This is about the large-scale, indiscriminate use of weapons that the civilized world long ago decided must never be used at all.
Offended enough to do anything about it, though? That's the question, Secretary of State John Kerry. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney here on America Tonight. Remember, I don't care if you're right of right, left of left, or somewhere in between trying to find that label. You're welcome to throw in your two cents throughout the show at 855-266-5283. And one way I've had it up to here of when we talk about Syria, and the question becomes, is the president going to wait for the UN on this Syria strike? This is big-time politics and lots of gambling behind the scenes. What ultimately will he do, pulling the trigger on more drones, black ops, something to help the people in Syria, humanitarian aid that, by the way, might not find its way to the millions of people who desperately need it because they got nothing. They are stuffed into camps, if they even are there, trying to get away from Syria and scared to death about being struck by something from the end of a chemical weapon. Where do we go from here? That's the million-dollar question. Where do we go from here? Some play is in the works. So the option of nothing is off the table. Guarantee something is going to happen. Boots on the ground, no way, no how. Obama goes down as the most unpopular president, period. If there were to be some kind of surge with our voluntary military and we plotted that kind of an invasion, no. And we all know it. I don't think anybody is threatened by that possibility. I don't think so. However, war these days, when we say we're going to war, we're going to do something, it doesn't necessarily mean what traditionally it would be with people on the ground. It's a different kind of strike that I mentioned. Drones, black ops, more intelligence gathering. After all, the world knows that we can do it because they know all about what the NSA has done, right? So, all talk, but nothing happening when it comes to Syria at this point. What kind of strategic effort is going to happen here? The huddle has already taken place with the dream team, at least for this president, when it comes to war rooms, his dream team. So they've huddled, they've talked, they've looked, they've had conversations, or he's had conversations with world leaders. Now what? Is this keeping him awake at night? Is that 3 a.m. call we heard about during the campaign the last time around, remember? Back in 2008. They say there is definitely evidence of large-scale chemical weapons in Syria. Killing people, innocent people. You heard John Kerry say moral obscenity that has to have consequences. So pretty dramatic stuff. We know where he stands. Has to have consequences. So far, all we hear is words and nothing has happened. Now, do we have the intelligence to back up what we thought all along, that Assad could easily use chemical weapons? With the uproar happening over Syria, like I said, there is no way nothing happens. There is no way. It's just a question of what is the play? What will the president decide to do? Some in Congress who are on vacation for another couple of weeks are not happy about the idea of not being involved in the discussion. Because if we're talking about anything that is warlike, then, or is a war act, they technically would be involved, wouldn't they? Congressman Pete King from New York, never shy about throwing in his two cents, says that the president doesn't need Congress to act on Syria. He says, baloney, he doesn't need it. Do it. He says he's the commander-in-chief. He can make this action. It's in his interest to consult with the House and the Senate, but he doesn't have to. Do it. Should he go alone? Some say no, do not go alone. You have to consult. So while Pete King thinks, no, you don't have to, the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, says he must, the President must consult Congress before acting in Syria. There are a chain of command. There is a chain of command to be recognized here, and he cannot leapfrog it. Cannot do that without the approval of Congress. So try to get Congress back early. Fire up the jets. Are they coming back to make a decision? Interesting timing on all of this, for sure. The Syrian regime, no doubt, has crossed the red line, okay? It's crossed the red line. They have crossed the red line. The White House is even acknowledging it, using chemical weapons on their own people. Boehner says the president has to, he can't bypass what would be the normal process of conferring with Congress before acting in a military way. So that's the obligation. What is the viable response? Then make a clear case to the American people as to why we have to intervene into an ongoing Syrian civil war. The latest Reuters Ipsos poll showed that only 25% of Americans support military action in Syria. Are you one of the 25? Or 46% don't. Are you one of the 46? Even if the Syrian government was found using chemical weapons against its own people, that was made clear. What is the need here? To fully explain, as John Boehner says, what's at stake and outline why he believes the action is necessary? What do you think? You should have me on speed dial, some of you, by now. 855-266-KATE. 855-266-5283. I will say this, there's no way... And I'll say it again, there's no way nothing is not going to happen. I mean, there's no way this is a no play. At this point, because of the red line comment, because of the bodies and the wraps, and because of a few other things, something has to be done. Huge humanitarian aid, that's a possibility. Something. I don't think... that he waits for Congress. I don't think so. There's no waiting for Congress. Because it's weeks. Unless they all get back. Hurry up. Come back. We're making a decision. All right. You got the numbers. I'll give it to you one more time. You might be like me. I'm dyslexic sometimes with numbers. 855-266-5283. 855-266-5283.
It's hurricane and wildfire season again. Why do thousands of people sit in these reoccurring problem areas year after year, betting their lives that the disaster won't get them? Hundreds of you help eFoods Direct ship 50,000 donated meals to the Oklahoma victims. The problem is we can't help everybody. If every one of us who can will take care of ourselves, we can all pitch in to take care of those who really can't. The new just-in-case pack from eFoods Direct is the big brother to the 7-day emergency pack designed for Oklahoma disaster donations. It contains a 2-month supply for one person, or a 1-month supply for two adults, or a 2-week supply for a family of four. The $320 price is $50 less than retail. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Order two or more, get 10% off, free shipping applies. Call 800-409-5633 on the web eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Making the right decisions is a challenge to investors. Are we going to see economic growth, slide into a recession, or at worst, depression? Hi, Ted Anderson from Midas Resources. We all know when a company acts irresponsibly, divesting ourselves in a move towards safety is prudent. When the market becomes volatile, U.S. treasuries are a safe haven. But what do you do when the U.S. government overextends itself and spends beyond its means? Many investors are turning toward gold as a common sense alternative to traditional paper investments. Midas Resources has put together a powerful book titled 10 Reasons to Own Gold, discussing costs, benefits, risks, featuring full-color illustrations, weights, and measures. The book is free and can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. Paper investments are dwarfed by gold's 6,000-year history. Discover how gold may be right for you and your IRA by calling 800-686-2237. Whether buying or it's time for you to sell, the book is free. Call 800-686-2237.
Alabama, it's coming, and it's the event you and your family will not want to miss. The Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, Saturday and Sunday, September 7th and 8th, at the newly renovated Oxford Civic Center in Oxford, Alabama, where admission is totally free. There's something for everyone. Free classes and seminars on topics like food preparation, food harvesting, and food preservation. Free giveaways every 30 minutes. You could win seed kits, food, doTERRA oil, starter kits, water filters, and more, including a year's supply of food. Guest speakers include Bob from Black Dog Survival School, Mike from White Harvest Seeds, Dr. Tom Stoner from Dr. MedKits, and more. And be sure to stop by and check out the Longevity booth, the Southern Preppers Convention and Green Living Expo, September 7th and 8th, a weekend of education and preparation that's totally free to attend. Don't forget, the Country Inn and Suites in Oxford has special rates available for those who attend the expo. Get all the details at thesouthernpreppers.com. That's thesouthernpreppers.com.
I heat up, I can't cool down. Time is spinning round and round, round and round, round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame. Burning flame, full of desire. Baby, let the fire get higher.
Kate Delaney hanging out with all you across this great country. Sorry for everybody in the Midwest. I know you're melting right now. It's very, very hot. It's hot in Syria, too. What do you think the next play should be ultimately at this point? It's all talk, 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 and no action. So far, we haven't seen it anyway. And we know that the chemical weapons were used. You can take the word allegedly out of chemical weapons. Alleged chemical weapons. We don't have to say that really anymore. Although the UN inspectors had a hard time nailing that down. It's not a surprise because wouldn't they get rid of any of the evidence? Coming up in our next segment, we're going to talk with Derek Green from Project 21 about the significance of Martin Luther King Jr. 50 years later. Do you believe it's been that long? You're going to like Derek Green because he has the opposite approach. Trust me. Let's go to Bill, who's listening to us in the great state of Mississippi. Hey, Bill.
Hi, Kate.
Yes, hello.
Hi. Apparently, this is very obvious looking at the news reports that the chemical weapons have been used, but then the question has been raised, who actually did this? And, you know, leading to the possibility of a false flag. I'm not advocating that could be, you know, the real thing, but if that has happened in the past, and, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, according to some, have been known to pull things like that, to just pull in some opposing, you know, force to go against whoever they're against. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you'd have to look at that. And I just want
Right. Well, in Egypt, I would say for sure. Here in Syria, it's not an impossibility. So, Bill, you're saying you got to look at it from a different angle. Maybe false flag. That's a different one. Okay. I think with, like I said, MB, they're trying to boot MB out of Egypt, as you know. Let's go to John, who's listening to us in Illinois. John, what do you think?
I agree with the previous caller. I would actually be suspect of our intelligence.
our intelligence, at least the way we acted on our intelligence, wasn't good in Libya. And you know, it appears to me that this could be the same kind of thing where, you know, if you were rebels, if you were Al-Qaeda or Muslim Brotherhood, and you wanted to get some help to overthrow a government, you know, you set it up like it was the government using nerve gas or, you know, some poisonous gas. You could do that. If you had some people in an administration that were pro-Muslim Brotherhood, or, you know, they could be involved in it too.
So you're saying that it's good then. Wait, don't jump out to anything until they really flush it out.
Let Congress grill the governmental people who are supposed to know what the story is, and let them really know and judge how much intelligence we've got, whether it's good or not. Just because we can send in cruise missiles or something else, drones, doesn't mean that we have a right to start a war. This is exactly the opposite of what the president said. You know, the president said when he was trying to get elected, you know, he would unite people, and, you know, he wouldn't do all this bombing and so on. And he's done just the opposite.
That is true. Remember, this was supposed to be that whole Arab Spring thing, and now it has sprung in the opposite direction. You're right. That was the big promise. Boom, we're out of the war. We're getting out of Iraq as fast as possible. This is not my deal. You're right. And now here we are on the verge again. But, you know, John, people will say, of course, depends, as you were mentioning, was there some kind of a setup here? Oh, look at the kids. Look what's happening. Come on now. This is millions of people. They're displaced. They're roaming around like cattle, and they're dying, and they're getting shot in their houses. But the question is, who's doing it?
Well, let somebody else stand up. And if we're going to do this kind of thing, we need to have a military that's strong. And what this president has been doing has been just destroying the military, and also the desire for good people to be in the military. You know, when you reduce their ability to get health care, when you challenge their increases in salary, when you don't give them good equipment, and when you buy thousands of tanks and armored personnel carrier and give it to TSA instead of National Guard.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is just destruction of our. And when you do things like change the rules with regard to engagements, so it makes it hard for our people to succeed, or look at the gay rights in the military now, or even women, you know, putting women in combat, you know, that is just reducing our. It's causing more strife and reducing the effectiveness of our military and the ability for our military to attract and to keep the best people. And it's also a good strategy for an administration that wants to put their own people in control. So I would just challenge. I would challenge. And you got another thing here. It was suggested early on that our ambassador that was killed should have been killed because he was one of the people involved in getting weapons to the Muslim Brotherhood in Lebanon. And, you know, that's we've not heard the real truth on the killing of that ambassador. Why was he targeted? He could have been targeted because he was going to expose what was going on with this country behind the scenes. And that could have been, a conspiracy.
You know, I agree that we don't know the full Benghazi. Thanks, John. We don't know the full Benghazi story, and that's troublesome. Because if it was very cut and dry and it was just, we made a mistake here and forget the talking points and all the other stuff, let's just get to the meat of it, of what happened. We never, ever got the full answer. And remember, Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State, and there was really, some people really figured this was going to take her down or take her out of 2016 because she's sick, she can't come up to the Hill, she can't talk about it, and then finally she makes an appearance. I mean, she did do one behind closed doors, but that led to some questioning about, you know, was there some things here that just didn't seem right? So there are conspiracy theories about that. You look at this head on, it looks one way, but maybe that's intentional. I do agree with some of what he was saying about the military. You know, it's a military that we've broke. We take the military and we bend it up like Gumby, and then we expect Gumby to be perfectly ready to roll on when we need Gumby to work, but geez, we're going to mess with your pay and benefits. You know, we're going to deploy you again and again in situations where we've seen that people can't handle that. I mean, there's enough horrific stories over the years that we've talked about. And especially what I agree with is the rules of engagement. How many times have I said that on this show, and how many times have we had people on, like Jeff Atticott, who we used to have on constantly, who talked about that? What do you expect from the military when you're tying their hands and they're getting blown to bits because they can't engage? There's no, what are the rules of engagement? Just don't engage. Just do it diplomatically. That's the only way you can do it. So by saying we were taking the diplomatic approach, now we've flipped it 180 degrees, and you can't expect this military to take anything more because they can't take anything more. And it's true. Attracting the best that you can attract with some of the things that have happened, not as easy as it used to be. Not as easy. And it's whack-a-mole. That's the game we're playing in the Middle East. Who knows where we go next and who's really pulling the strings? There is definitely, I think, legitimate reasons to question that. To question what's really happening that we don't know, that doesn't meet the eye, that seems off. Something that seems off. There are a few things that seem off. And still, I guess the bottom of the real question is, too, the Benghazi stuff. Yeah, we're never going to know that. Never. Because if it wasn't a cover-up, if there was nothing that shouldn't have been said, then it should have been pretty straightforward in anybody who testified, and it seems anything but. All right, coming up, we're going to talk to Derek Green, as I said, in the middle of this and closer to home. We have our own problems that we've been dealing with, and here it is 50 years since Martin Luther King's words, "I have a dream." Who as a kid did not hear that speech in class, and went over the reasons why Martin Luther King did the things that he did, and was he part of the reason the differences started to happen? And then we had the civil rights movement all mixed in between that. But where have we come as a nation since then, 50 years later? That's next on America Tonight.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
This October, thousands of people from all corners of the world will descend upon Orem, Utah. But it's more than the fall colors or the snow-capped Wasatch Mountains that brings them. It's the semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo at the Utah Valley University Event Center. It's the most unique preparedness event on Earth, with over 30 world-class lecturers giving over 50 presentations. Learn from experts about below-ground greenhouses, super winter survival, herbal medicine, bunker building, even urban evasion and escape tactics taught by SEAL team trainers. These people are the very best, and they only get together twice a year at the Great Utah Preparedness Expo. There's also over 100 vendors selling very unique preparedness, emergency, and survival equipment, plus solar and alternative energy products. The semi-annual Great Utah Preparedness Expo, October 11th and 12th in Orem, Utah. Sponsored by Youngevity. For more, visit superprepfair.com. That's superprepfair.com.
Utopiasilver.com believes, as the Declaration of Independence states, that our rights come from God, not from government. The only lawful purpose of any government is to protect and secure the rights of the people, and no man or government has the authority to take what has been given to us by God. Among these rights are life, liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness. And America's government has ceased to be the protector of liberty and of the people's God-given rights. But we the people can return America to greatness if we are willing to stand up and reassert our stolen rights. We ask that you join Utopia Silver in changing America's course in history. To save on health care and improve your health, call Utopia Silver at 888-213-4338. For a limited time, new customers will receive 50% off all colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's U-T-O-P-I-A Silver, utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338.
Of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech, I Had a Dream. Derek Green joins us from Project 21. Derek, right off the bat, my question to you is, what would Dr. King think today?
That's a good question. A complex one at that. I think that if Reverend King were alive today and he would be able to take kind of a broad scope of American culture, I think that he would, in fact, be happy with the progress that Black Americans have made, America as a whole, but Black Americans specifically have made since his speech in 1963 up until this day. I think that, you know, when he would look across American culture and American society, he would see Blacks in a number of positions, whether it's elected political leadership, you know, whether they're doctors or lawyers, or other positions of influence that he wouldn't have seen back in 1963. So I think that he would be, he would like what he saw. I think that he would still be a bit dissatisfied with the fact that even more Black Americans haven't found maybe the internal drive or the initiative to embrace the freedom that we now have. And so I think it probably would be somewhat bittersweet. I think that he would be definitely be happy, but I think that he would be dissatisfied in the fact that more Blacks should have taken the opportunity to embrace the freedom and the promise that his sacrifice led to. Now, having said that, I think that he would be immeasurably disappointed in those people who self-anointed themselves his progeny in the civil rights industry. I think that seeing them and what they've done since his passing, I think he would be very heartbroken that they almost inverted his dream. I think that people that came after Reverend King, rather than saying race isn't an issue, have said race is an issue, and because it is an issue, we want this, that, and the other. So I think it would have been a very interesting conversation if miraculously Reverend King were to be resurrected. I think it would be very, very interesting, his perspective.
Yeah, you think about it, again, the time when it was and what happened, and there certainly was massive oppression. There's no question about it. But do you, are you surprised? I mean, here it is 5 decades later, and this is what you're saying. As we move forward, you know, here, when you do a talk show, so often we'll hear the phrase, and I hate it, it just makes my skin crawl, oh, there's race baiting, and there's the myth of what's really happening and what's not happening, and the back and forth over half the stories that are out there that involve a crime where it involves somebody who happens to be black, somebody happens to be white, and certainly we know the Trayvon Martin situation and what that turned out to be and how divisive and polarizing it was across the nation. And as you're saying, you think he may be a little bit disappointed in that. Why is that? Why do you think we haven't gotten beyond this?
You know, I think one of the main reasons I think that is because I think that there's a lot of political capital wrapped up in keeping Americans divided by race. I think it goes a long way with emotional manipulation that, you know, comes and bears fruit on election day. So I think that's one reason, specifically as it relates to black Americans. I think that progressive politics has a very, very huge vested interest in cultural interest and political interest in keeping blacks maintaining the type of mentality where they blame everything on racism. Because, again, on election day, you know, blacks come out in, you know, very, very high numbers, as evidenced this past November. I think another reason for that is that it's no longer a civil rights movement. I think that civil rights, as it was defined back in 1963, I think civil rights have largely been achieved. I think what we see now, what Shelby Steele has called the racial grievance industry, and I think that particular industry, there's a lot of money to be made, there's a lot of careers to be created, and there's a lot of wealth to be redistributed in a racial grievance industry. And so because of that, I think that's why Americans, you know, will largely say, oh, I guess, you know, over the last 6 or 7, 8 weeks that, you know, Americans seem to be more divided by race than it was, you know, maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. I think those two things have a lot to do with it.
What do you think? I was reading a comment today from Congresswoman Marsha Fudge from Ohio, a Democrat, who was asked about the trajectory of race relations. Has it been positive or negative in recent years? And of course, she's the chairman of the Congressional Black Caucus, and she was kind of taken aback for a second, you know, kind of paused a little bit, I guess, really to reflect on the question. And she said, this is a quote, she said, right after the election of the president, I would have thought it was going to be in a positive direction, but I'm not so sure anymore. I think we've lost ground as it relates to our tolerance of people who are different or people who we believe have not worked hard enough. You hear the language all the time, and as I was mentioning that talk radio, the buzzwords often primarily directed at low-income people and communities of color. But do you think she's pushing that thing, you know, that agenda kind of forward because Democratic lawmakers say that this is really the state of affairs when it comes to race and progress and civil rights and whatnot? It's the Republicans' fault because they've betrayed the progress. Do you think that's true?
I don't think that's true. I think that what's her initial part of her statement, I think many Americans would agree with. I think that with the election of the first black president back in 2008, I think a lot of Americans thought that this would go over well with improving race relations. I think that when she says she's shocked and surprised, I think she's being a bit disingenuous because she would have to be convicting herself and a number of black Democratic politicians for contributing to that. I think that, you know, we have to understand back in 1963, we had under 5, I think, black congressional members. Now we have close to 50. I think we've made tremendous progress in that area alone. I think that what has happened is, again, people are going around. Okay, so for example, when it comes to President Obama's policy and what he's done, if anybody who is white, you know, raises their voice to criticize what he's done, it's immediately labeled as being racist. If a black person does the same thing, they're immediately denigrated as a sellout or Uncle Tom. And I think that, unfortunately, the Congressional Black Caucus has contributed to that. I think that they're the ones who are saying, you know, people disagree with the president primarily based on race when they have no evidence to support those claims. Another issue that I kind of take umbrage with is the fact that, you know, she's part of the Congressional Black Caucus, which has admitted publicly that they, you know, aren't challenging the president the way they should be precisely because he's black. Now, the previous chairperson of the Congressional Black Caucus, Emanuel Cleaver, came out and said if the president were white, we would be marching around the White House because of his poor economic stewardship. But because the president is black, they defer to him in a way that they otherwise wouldn't. This is what he said. And so when you have a bunch of members that are, you know, representing the Congressional Black Caucus, individual members who represent districts that have some of the highest unemployment in the nation, for them to go out and say that we're not going to do this because of the president's race means that they, too, are convicted of contributing to what this dismay that she complains about. So I think it was a bit disingenuous for her to word the second part of her statement in the way that she did.
Yeah. We're speaking with Derek Green, Project 21. Derek, on a different kind of note, I mentioned for me when I first heard Martin Luther King Jr.'s words, I can remember my mother and my father both telling me about King. In fact, my father died when I was young. It's one of the things I remember about him and how passionate he was about it. We lived in New York and whatnot, and that was heavily emphasized in the curriculum. So it was something that the words were something I knew when I was young. Do you remember what it meant for you when you first heard the "I Have a Dream" speech?
Well, when I first heard it and I guess had knowledge of what he was saying. For me, it was interesting to see a minister be that compelling outside of the church context. It seemed that a lot of people took what he said to heart, and it inspired a lot of people. And for me, at such a young age, what it meant to me is that, you know, the gospel can be preached outside of church, and it can have a greater reach to people outside of the confines of the church building. And so for me, I was kind of moved by that. You know, for me, the benefit of my upbringing, my parents grew up in the South and, you know, they moved out to California. So I got to have and be a recipient of the benefits of much of what was said in his speech. So for somebody to hear that type of speech and realize that, you know, you are receiving what he talked about, it wasn't really until I got older that I could truly understand the scope of what he was saying and how, you know, I was able to benefit from that. And so knowing that I'm benefiting from it, it's disconcerting to hear so many people who also have been beneficiaries of what he spoke about and what his public ministry was able to accomplish, to denigrate it in a way to say, well, yes, it's as bad as it was then, or if we still have problems to go. We'll always have problems because we're imperfect people trying to make the best of an imperfect situation. But I think it's just disingenuous, I think, to not acknowledge those benefits that we've come a long way. We've come a very, very long way. And though we may still have areas in which we may need to improve, 2013 America is no way near as racist or as bad as it was back in 1963, and a large part of that, you know, falls upon the shoulders of Reverend King.
I agree. Derek Green, thanks so much for coming on with us. We appreciate it. Project 21. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thank you.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis.
but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, thanks to Dan Pilla, you can get the tax help you need to end your tax nightmare.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce or eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. With the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. Or go to my website, TaxHelpOnline.com. That's TaxHelpOnline.com.
You've thought about it for years. Well, the time is now. You need a secret bunker, and you need it deep and strong. Atlas Survival Shelters should be your first and only choice. The experts at Atlas can help you choose a shelter that has all the comforts of your home and is 11 times stronger than square box shelters. Call Atlas at 1-855-4-BUNKERS. 1-855-4-BUNKERS. Or visit IWantThatBunker.com. Atlas Survival Shelters. Better prepared than scared. Available only at HempUSA.org. It's the first aid stick, and it's a must-have in any medical kit. With fast, chemical-free healing, the first aid stick stops bleeding, kills bacteria, is great for acne, insect bites, minor cuts and abrasions, will last for years, and is just $11.95. Everyone needs the first aid stick in their emergency kit. Call 888-910-4367. 888-910-4367. The first aid stick, only at HempUSA.org.
I have the honor to present to you the moral leader of our nation. I have the pleasure to present to you Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
I am happy to join with you today in what will go down in history as the greatest demonstration for freedom in the history of our nation. Five score years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree came as a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who had been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro still is not free. 100 years later, The life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation and the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity. 100 years later, the Negro is still languished in the corners of American society and finds himself in exile in his own land. And so we've come here today to dramatize a shameful condition. In a sense, we've come to our nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American was to fall heir. This note was a promise that all men, yes, black men as well as white men, would be guaranteed the unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring this sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds. Believe that the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. We refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in the great vaults of opportunity of this nation. So we've come to cash this check, a check that will give us upon demand the riches of freedom and the security of justice. We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America of the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism. Now is the time to make real the promises of democracy. Now is the time to rise from the dark and desolate valley of segregation to the sunlit path of racial justice. Now is the time to lift our nation from the quicksands of racial injustice to the solid rock of brotherhood. Now is the time to make justice a reality for all of God's children. It would be fatal for the nation to overlook the urgency of the moment. This sweltering summit of the Negro's legitimate discontent will not pass until that is an invigorating autumn of freedom and equality. 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. Those who hope that the Negro needed to blow off steam and will now be content will have a rude awakening if the nation returns to business as usual. There will be neither rest nor tranquility in America until the Negro is granted his citizenship rights. The whirlwinds of revolt will continue to shake the foundations of our nation until the bright day of justice emerges. But that is something that I must say to my people who stand on the warm threshold which leads into the palace of justice. In the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred.
All right, so what you hear there is really a big chunk. I wanted you to hear that of Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, because we were just talking to Derek Green about that, and it was interesting to get his take from the Project 21 point of view. All right, let's squeeze in our last caller, Jim in Alabama. Hello, Jim. Thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Thank you, Kate. First time caller, long time listener. You, that speech in terms of Martin King, it's amazing. I've had my boots on the ground since 1954 when he started in Montgomery. He worked with us very closely here and his top lieutenants here in Huntsville in the early 60s. I believe that Martin King will go down in history as being the greatest civil rights leader that this nation has produced, and it has produced some great ones. So to move to where we are today, I remember his book, so beautiful, before he was assassinated. He says, where do we go from here? And by the way, it was a joy to sit back in this 24th day of August in Washington, D.C. this weekend to relive those hellacious days of the 1940s, 1950s. But where we are today is what is wrong in this nation. Is the axis of evilness. We have seen more hate and animosity permeating. Dr. King taught us over 50 years ago, if you're going to solve problems, go to the root. What is
the root of it. Boy, that is so well said, Jim. Thank you. We're going to end on that note. We're up against it, but go to the root of it, as Jim said. Thank you for sharing your story with us and what happened in Washington, and can you believe it has been 50 years? Think about it. How far have we come? How far have we not come?
Don't throw away leftovers. Instead, throw all your leftovers, vegetable peels, eggshells, coffee grounds, pizza crusts, and more into the Bokashi. If you love to garden and compost but don't like the hassle of turning a compost bin or the smell, then check out the EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics. Finally, a way to recycle all your food and plant waste safely and effectively and stop using fertilizers. The EM Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System. Rather than decomposition, the Bokashi system uses fermentation to break down waste, so it takes less time to create nutrient-dense humus for crops or gardens with no turning and no obnoxious odors. To learn more and order your Bokashi online, visit Terraganics.com and click on the orange button. That's Terraganics.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Recycle all your food wastes in about 6 weeks with the Bokashi Food Waste Recycling System from Terraganics.com. Terraganics, life's getting better.